Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Help me to pray. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. Gracious God, open the scripture to us that we might find a place in our hearts for your living word, and that because of your amazing grace, we might live your word in the world, though we cannot do it without your help. So open us, fill us, use us, O God. And help us to listen, for we ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ, and the people of God together say, Amen. Our passage is from the 48th Psalm. This is a pilgrimage song. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within its citadels, God has shown himself a sure defense. Then the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, the city, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there. Pains as of a woman in labor, as when an east wind shatters the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God establishes forever. We ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. Your name, O God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with victory. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go all around it, count its towers, consider well its ramparts, go through its citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many of us have an affinity for places, for certain places. We look to fondness about places we've been or places that have some meaning for us. Some of us think that way about our hometown. When I came here, one of you told me that there's nothing like Champaign Urbana in the winter when the skies are clear and the sun is out and you can see forever. That's one reason why he loved his hometown. Ask me about my hometown in Hampton, Virginia. I was born and raised in the sight of water, and there's nothing more beautiful than the moon on the harbor in my hometown. We often feel an affinity for certain places. Writers take care to describe their beloved surroundings. Imagine Jack London without talking about the danger, the cold, and the wild of the outdoors. You feel the dust bowl grit in your mouth when you read John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath. And Hemingway spoke of Havana and Paris with great affection. The Lithuanian poet Czesław Miłosz says that language is the only homeland and he should know as a refugee. We feel affection for certain places. Where would Claude Monet be without the gardens and the water lily ponds of Giverny? And concert pianists, they long for a place called Carnegie Hall. You get there by practice, practice, practice. And singer-songwriters look for the day when they might play in the Troubadour in Los Angeles. And jazz aficionados always pay homage to Preservation Hall in New Orleans. John Williams, who preached from this pulpit not too many months ago, before pandemic, came with his kids from Austin College. They led some programming for us, and he preached a really good sermon, as I recall. Some of you were awake for it, I think. And he speaks with great love about his home state of Texas. And he might call Mo Ranch Conference Center an old camp outside of Kerrville, Texas. He might call it God's country. And our country. We have great affinity, great feelings of affection for the United States. We love the country that God has entrusted to our care. And we take that responsibility seriously, sometimes with great weight. The spacious skies, the amber ways of grain, the purple mounted majesty, the ample fruited plain. Some of us were born far away and we immigrated to get here. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. Some of us dreamed of this land long before we ever stood on these shores. And some of us nurture deep, deep roots in this land that we've long called home. All of us have great love and affinity for the place that we call home. Its freedoms, its contradictions, its opportunity, its diverse population, its promise, its hope, its potential, still unrealized. And our prayer is, God, bless America. That is our prayer. We often feel affection for certain places. We feel love. We feel pride. Now that's how the psalmist was feeling as she made her way to Jerusalem, the city on the holy mountain, greatly to be praised, beautiful in elevation, joy of all the earth, Jerusalem. On ancient maps, Jerusalem is often painted at the center of the cosmos, and on globes, she is the belly button of the world, of the known world. That's how important this city, Jerusalem, is to those who love her. Psalm 48 is a pilgrimage psalm. People are making their way at least once in their lifetimes to Jerusalem. They are excited about its citadels, its ramparts, its soaring towers. And even as our Muslim brothers and sisters make their way to Mecca, Christians, or Jews and Christians, and even Muslims, still make treks to Jerusalem, the Holy Land. These pilgrims, both ancient and modern, think of the great city with every step that takes them closer to it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. They adore this iconic city, and they're filled with obvious civic pride. We know the feeling. I think this psalm is a bit of a cautionary tale for us. When one reads it closely, one sees that the psalmist runs the risk of letting pride and patriotism take center stage. She appears to be revering the city as much as she reveres the Lord who reigns over the city. Glorification of the city and glorification of God, both of which we read in these verses, seem to describe almost the same thing. However, they are not. Again, we know the feeling. When we rightly love our country, our family, our team, our tribe so much, we run the risk of loving so fiercely, so patriotically, that we put the things of God and we put God in second or third or fourth place. Our Christian intellect doesn't allow this. But sometimes our heart betrays us. Here's how it happens, a true story. Alex was a great club soccer player in her community soccer league. Her team was selected to play an important championship or important league tournament over Easter weekend. On Saturday, they won all their games, which meant, of course, they were going to play a final game on Easter morning. She told her coach she couldn't make it. He said, "What do you mean you can't make it? This is a big game." She said, "Tomorrow's Easter." And the coach said, "Oh, yeah, I guess it is." And she says, "I'm in my confirmation class, and I'm going to be confirmed with my fellow classmates." And he said, "Well, you could go to a party or something afterwards, but the game is at 9:00 in the morning." She said, "Coach, I can't make it. I want to stand with them on Easter." She doesn't remember if the team won the game or not, but she does know that she didn't play in it. And she remembers her confirmation to this day. She's a doctor in Charleston now. She remembers her parents, both sets, came from Kentucky to stand with her and her friends. And she remembers what it was like to celebrate the baptism and gather around that font again, that baptism that she didn't remember because she was baptized as an infant. Somebody said, "It's not the devil that'll kill the church, it's the soccer league." But that's how it happens. Bit by bit, the things that we know and feel and believe and even are willing to die for become less and less of an actual priority, until the point at which our faith is a second or third or fourth kind of thought for us, or our children, or our grandchildren, or our great-grandchildren, who have never been to a church. Priorities get mixed up in life. Our passionate love of places and people and things sometimes just turns us around. And I think it's coming close to happening in Psalm 48. In the center of Jerusalem was the temple. And at the center of the temple was the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies. It was there that the high priest would go and attend the fires of the altar, only he. And it was there that he, at least, was reminded of what is at the center of one's life, even one's national life. Every great nation's aspirations begin there. The love of God and God's love of us is at the center of everything that resembles health and success and might. Every pilgrim knows that the city walls will crumble. Every pilgrim knows that the monuments will one day come down and new generations will raise up new monuments. Everything about Jerusalem is subject to the dust and the havoc of history. This psalmist knows that, and all pilgrims do. But the pilgrims also know that God is not subject to life's inevitable decay. God's power and love will not, does not, cannot ever fail or fade, and is not bound by borders or language or creed. And this is the God the pilgrim makes every effort, risking life and limb, to honor as she makes her way to that holy city. To this God be all honor and glory and praise forever. May we pray together. Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage. Make us always remember your generosity and constantly to do your will. Bless our land with honest industry, sound learning, and an honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Make us who come from many nations with many different languages a united people. Defend our liberties and give those whom we have entrusted with authority of government the spirit of wisdom, that there might be justice and peace in our land. When times are prosperous, O God, let our hearts be thankful, and in troubled times, do not let our trust in you fail. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the people of God together say, Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.